Have you ever felt a presence you couldn't explain? Florence Day knows that feeling all too well. She's been seeing ghosts her entire life. As a successful ghostwriter for best-selling romance novelist Ann Nichols, Florence has built a life in New York City far from her hometown of Miremont, South Carolina, where her family runs the Day and Night Funeral Home. But Florence is facing a crisis. After a devastating breakup with a fellow writer who stole her personal stories about growing up in a funeral home, she's lost her belief in love and romance. Unable to finish her latest manuscript, she faces the wrath of her new editor, the handsome and meticulously organized Benji Andor. Just when Florence thinks things can't get worse, they do. Her father dies unexpectedly, forcing her to return home for the first time in 10 years. And waiting for her on the funeral home's porch, the ghost of her editor, who has no idea how he died or why he's connected to her. Florence's return to Miremont forces her to confront the life she abandoned. At 13, she solved a murder by communicating with the victim's spirit, transforming from town sweetheart to outcast. Her mother's passive-aggressive remarks about her writing career and sister Alice's resentment about being left with the family funeral home create tension. "You always leave when things get difficult," Alice accuses during breakfast. Ghost Benji follows Florence everywhere, insisting he can't be dead because he doesn't remember dying, while still critiquing her manuscript. Between planning her father's elaborate funeral, requiring wildflowers, an Elvis impersonator, and 12 specific crows, and investigating her editor's apparent death, Florence realizes the most important ghosts aren't those floating through walls, but those buried within ourselves. During a midnight cemetery moonwalk, Florence confides in Benji about her supernatural ability. Unlike others, he doesn't judge her, but offers compassion and becomes furious when she shares how her ex stole her personal experiences. "No one had ever gotten angry for me before," she realizes. "They'd only ever blamed me." Florence's return forces her to confront grief and strained sibling relationships. Carver calls her Florence, the Lonely Island, while Alice harbors resentments, revealing they only visited New York because their father insisted. Florence must acknowledge how her departure affected those left behind. While escaping a town that labeled her crazy, her family struggled without her. A breakthrough comes when Alice confesses, "I wasn't mad because you left. I was mad because you didn't take me with you." Alice admits jealousy of Florence's special ghost-seeing connection with their father. The sisters cry together, beginning to heal years of misunderstanding. Later, Florence discovers her teenage journals, with a note showing her father had found them. He'd even bought copies of her published novel, proud of her all along. Their relationship develops through shared moments, screaming in rainstorms, dancing while cleaning, side-by-side conversations. What makes their attraction poignant is its impossibility. Florence knows better than to fall for another ghost, yet can't deny her feelings for Benji, who accepts and understands her completely. Throughout the novel, Florence navigates the tension between holding on and letting go. As a funeral director's daughter who sees spirits, she understands death as transition rather than ending. Her father taught her that ghosts remain due to unfinished business. Helping them complete their stories allows them to move on. "Everything that dies never really goes," her father would say, not as ghosts, but as part of nature's cycle and memory. Benji's deteriorating condition forces them to confront reality. At her father's funeral, he admits, "I think every time I disappear, I come back a little less." Their impossible love reaches its climax when Benji begins to fade permanently. Though he wishes to grow old with her, they recognize the impossibility. Florence, understanding he needs to move on, thanks him for wanting to be part of her world. As she reaches to kiss him, Benji sees something beyond her perception and vanishes forever. This painful goodbye teaches Florence that sometimes loving means letting go, a lesson paralleling her journey with grief. Florence's creative journey mirrors her emotional one. After her breakup, she can't write romance anymore. "Once, I was good at romance, great even," she reflects at her blank screen. Her lost faith in love has paralyzed her writing, making it impossible to finish the final Anne Nichols novel. Benji helps Florence reconnect with her authentic voice through their conversations about the genre. He reveals he became a romance editor after reading The Forest of Dreams by Anne Nichols, ironically, a book Florence ghostwrote. His genuine belief in romance literature contrasts with her ex's dismissive view that romances aren't memorable literature. After her father's funeral, Florence returns to New York with renewed purpose, writing with a passion I hadn't felt in years. Completing the last book I would ever write for Anne Nichols marks Florence's transition from ghostwriter to author, paralleling her journey from heartbreak to healing. The novel's most surprising twist reveals Benji wasn't dead, just in a coma after a van accident. When Florence sees his ex-girlfriend Laura at his hospital bedside, she retreats without seeing him, convinced their past is insurmountable. 3 months later, after completing her manuscript, Florence agrees to meet Benji at Falcon House Publishers. Their awkward reunion transforms when Benji says "zoom zoom juice," a phrase only his ghost self would know. When Florence tries to leave, he stops her, confirming he remembers everything from his ghostly experience. They share passionate kisses as he declares he remembers every moment they shared. The novel concludes at Florence's brother's wedding in the funeral home. They notice an elderly ghost couple, and Florence realizes Benji can see them too. She's no longer alone in her ability. At her father's grave, Benji declares he is ardently, fervently, zealously, keenly, passionately hers as they kiss among the tombstones. A good beginning for their love story. The Dead Romantics explores what endures beyond death. Florence's father's legacy lives on through his impact on family and community, visible in his unconventional funeral attended by crowds bearing wildflowers, Elvis songs, and picnic baskets filled with memories. The novel illustrates how people persist through generations, in handwritten notes hidden in books, in the echo of a parent's laugh within their child. As Florence's sister notes, goodbyes aren't final. People continue living through the ripples of their actions and love. For Florence, writing becomes her path to immortality. Her romance novels, once hidden beneath floorboards out of shame, evolve into her proudest achievement, stories that will touch readers' hearts long after she's gone. Death appears not as an ending, but a transition. As Florence's father taught her, everything that dies never really goes. What remains is love in its purest form, sweet and soft and sure, like love ought to be.